This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
As a soul success coach, media personality, best-selling author, and the host of the Create Change Now radio show and telesummit series, Carrie Murphy's intention is to inspire and awaken millions from all over the globe to create powerful, positive, soul-driven change in their lives. Join Carrie's program every Wednesday as she interviews leading personal development experts, success coaches, energy healers, speakers, mystics, visionaries, and authors who share their research, wisdom, and personal stories. Carrie's show will uplift your spirit, expand your perspective, and support you in making more conscious choices in your day-to-day life. She inspires her listeners to take responsibility for the quality of their lives and embrace their full potential. You can reach Carrie at www.carriemurphy.com or 1-800-704-SOUL, and be sure to tune into her radio show to get your weekly dose of inspiration and empowerment so that you can begin to create positive change in your life today. Don't wait. The time for change is now.
Welcome to your weekly multivitamin for the body, mind, and spirit. You are now tuned into the Create Change Now radio show, live with your host, Carrie Murphy. This is your personal invitation to an abundant, prosperous, and joyful life. In this hour-long program, Carrie will provide insights to awaken the human spirit and inspire you to expand the horizons of your imagination and unleash your greatest potential. And now here's your host, Carrie Murphy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I am your host, Carrie Murphy. This is the Create Change Now radio show, your multivitamin for the body, mind, and spirit. Thanks so much for joining me today. Good morning, America. Good afternoon, evening, and good day to everyone listening in from around the globe. I appreciate you all, and I'm so grateful when I receive your feedback each week and see the show reaching the top of the iTunes podcast chart and the hot list each week due to all of you great listeners out there who faithfully tune in to receive your essential dose of inspiration and motivation every Wednesday. I appreciate all of you for listening, for telling your friends and family about the program, and most of all, I'm really filled with gratitude that the show is doing precisely what I intended for it to do when I started it over 2.5 years ago, and that is to raise awareness, to create positive change, to empower you to generate new and phenomenal levels of success and joy and spiritual expansion and fulfillment in your life. And last but certainly not least, raise the consciousness of the planet. When I get your letters and your calls, your emails, telling me about these shifts and changes that are happening in your lives, that are happening consciously and consistently and actively due to you listening to the show each week, I feel that it just makes me feel even more enthusiastic about the power and the potential impact that the show has already had and will continue to have on all of you out there listening. As you tap into your greatness, your divine potential, and allow yourself to live the life that you deserve to be living, I encourage each of you to visit my website at www.carriemurphy.com. That's CarriMurphy.com. Get your complimentary bonus package I have for you. And then connect with me off the air on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. It's Carrie L. Murphy. Don't forget the middle initial L. I welcome that connection with you. Look forward to it. And today I have another full hour planned for you. We're going to have some enlightening and empowering information as usual, but today I'm going to be welcoming my special guest, Dr. Charlene Proctor, to the show. We're going to talk about your journey to joy, her new book, and all kinds of fun stuff. Let me tell you about her, and then we'll get started. Charlene Proctor is the founder of the Goddess Network, an online educational resource for topics on spiritual growth, positive thinking, consciousness, and unity. Everything we talk about on this show, Charlene inspires people to rediscover their own ability to lead authentic lives. Her affirmations, her lectures, her programs reach a worldwide audience daily. She's the author of the best-selling book, Let Your Goddess Grow, 7 Spiritual Lessons on Female female power and positive thinking. She's also written the Women's Book of Empowerment, 323 affirmations that change everyday problems into moments of potential. What a great title that is. Her new book is called The Oneness Gospel, Birthing the Christ Consciousness and Divine Human in You. And we're going to be talking about that book today on the show. We're going to discuss the universal need for oneness. We're going to talk about principles for becoming a divine human, global awakening. We're going to talk about shifting our perspective to one of joy through conscious creation and a whole lot more. So stick around for the full hour. It's going to be a great show. And now I would love to ask Charlene to join me and get things started. Charlene, welcome.
Thanks for having me today. I'm so happy to be here.
I am too. I'm looking forward to this, Charlene. You know, in the new book, there's a question that you pose, and that is, what will empower us and sustain our relationships in the new age? And the Oneness Gospel is the name of it, Birthing the Christ Consciousness and Divine Human in You. Very eye-opening, very spiritual. You unite spiritual wisdoms from the East and the West to help us experience this Christ consciousness in the here and now. So let's start at the beginning here. How did you come up with this idea for this book?
Well, I thought that oneness teachings that were migrating over from Fiji and India were very, very interesting and totally unity-oriented. And I thought that given today's polarized environment that we're constantly witnessing on television and everywhere else, the more unity messages we can get out to people to help them give up this idea of separation and see some sort of personal peace and get on the road to personal transformation, you know, to me as a self-help writer and a spiritual author would be very, very helpful. These teachings are really interfaith, and they're very universal, and I thought they were very exciting. So when I kind of stumbled into that material, it was because of a personal issue. I think most people that write books, there's something behind the idea that really propels them toward it. Given the interest in the material is one thing, because I've been involved in that my entire life, but on a personal note, we had experienced some very deep suffering in our family, and I began to experience a lot of physical illnesses, because as you know, the mind is very, very, very powerful, and our perspective is as well. And once we start internalizing our challenges and our circumstances at a very deep, deep level, that begins to manifest in diseases. And that certainly what happened to me. I had a back injury, and I had cancer and a whole host of other things because I didn't know how to process trauma and emotional trauma at a very deep level. And I have to laugh, I guess, a little bit, because here we are as spiritual teachers teaching people to let go and, you know, try to have all this mystical connection, you know, with the divine presence. And, you know, it was the kind of thing where you say, well, doctor, heal thyself, and you can't. So I sought the energetic and spiritual grace that propels these ideas of the oneness teachings, and sought to find the people here in the States and also overseas that could help me clean that out and understand how to actually be a transmitter for grace at that particular level. And the exciting thing is, I guess at the end of the day, and hopefully at the end of the interview, we're going to make sure people understand that we're all vehicles for this. You know, it isn't something that I discovered was some unique principle or special psychic skill or whatever that any one person has to be born with a talent to do. We're all like little radiators of this ability to heal and to expand our perspectives and to raise consciousness for ourselves and other people around us.
So how is your health these days? Is it better?
Oh, everything's fine. Everything's fine. I don't even think about it anymore. I just take my vitamins. I guess that was hilarious that was on your program. You chose vitamins for the soul, and I'm looking at my daily bag of vitamins and my desk mark morning. It's fine. But I'll tell you, it's interesting, the body-mind-spirit connection. I'm never, ever going to be not intrigued with it. Right. Everything is so interconnected at an energetic level, and when you think about the idea of oneness, you know, there's so many people that view themselves as such separate from everything that is.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand that everything, every thought, every form, every idea, every person, every belief, every intention is all completely connected with something or someone else. And it's kind of overwhelming when you think about it, but also very empowering. Because my work, and as I'm sure in your work, people, when they realize that they are part of this magnificent thing that we call all that is, then they start to really think about their own personal potential.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are that big and extraordinary in that you absolutely extend with the all that is everything in the universe, you can't possibly, first of all, be outside of everything that is. It's virtually impossible. Where would you be? So when folks really wrap their head around that idea in my work over the years, they start to understand that they have this individualized spark of divine creation. There's a little piece of that divinity of the all that is that lives inside them, and that's where their potential resides.
Mm-hmm. They have to claim it, right?
Yeah, you have to embrace it, and that's, I think all of us, you know, in retrospect, now that, you know, talking about journeys here, is all of our individual journeys are meant to show us that very concept.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're all going to get there. We're all on different paths to get there. We're all in different incarnations to get there. We're all going to experience different karmic relationships in order for us to see these truths.
Mm-hmm.
And we all can't be on the same path at the same time. Otherwise,
right.
Life would be, first of all, very boring.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, there would be nothing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we do.
Let me ask you this, Charlene. What did you learn about embracing your own potential that led you to change the course of your health? Or what did you realize that you had been doing or not doing that affected the quality of your health that you have now made a shift? Does that make sense?
Well, but this is interesting. The first thing that they would teach you in the oneness camp, in the people that began these programs years ago were dasas, or monks. This is the term, Indian term for the word dasa, or guide, spiritual guide, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the Westerners that came, you know, everybody came kind of with a similar agenda. A, there's something physically wrong with you, or you're in some sort of suffering, or B, you want to manifest a different reality and figure out, well, okay, I got my head wrapped around what a good life could be. How do I create that?
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing everybody has to deal with is their own suffering, and that was certainly true with me. It's like I needed to really look at that piece.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is just not one of my problems, but it's probably most people's, is that when we get ill or we realize that we're in suffering, we really don't want to live through the present moment of that and feel the pain of it. If there's pain, and embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
And the East really teaches us that we in the West are experts at suffering management.
Mm.
You know, we'll stuff it, we'll go to therapy, we'll eat, we'll drink, we'll complain, we'll get mad at our families, we'll watch TV, we'll shop more, you know, we'll look for love in the wrong places. We don't want to face the suffering head on. Oh, yeah, we say we want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And but we don't want it to really allow it to fill us and feel it and stay with the pain until these old emotional charges, and all those are really the residual of old suffering.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to stay with it until it passes. And we think that the way to deal with this is to contain it and to manage it. And that's not the key to living in joy and the way to fully experiencing life. So for me personally, I was internalizing all of these experiences in the body and didn't really want to look deeper and more carefully at it. And I needed something or someone, as I said earlier, to try to help release those
mm-hmm.
charges.
Mm-hmm.
So I think honestly, if we don't want to continue life living on those ideas, and that happens to a lot of folks because then they become stories in the mind,
yeah.
or they become programs or old conditionings, and then what happens is that we don't see life clearly. We're not fully present for what is in front of us because we're filtering everything through the soul's suffering. So to me, that was the beginning. That was where I had to begin and to have to manage, or not manage, but rather to experience that fully and to understand what it was and to move through it fully.
Yeah, it sounds like emotional, and this is something, like you said, that it's not just something you have dealt with. It's something we all deal with. I feel like emotional suppression is the cause or the root for so much disease. And so part of that is learning to express and be with whatever it is that we're feeling instead of suppressing it. Or like you said, what did you call us, experts at what did you say? At
Well, they've won this university. Or the oneness camp, the people out in India that are doing this work on oneness that are taking a message all over the world. So I guess we could just call it the oneness movement. But yeah, the all of those things take a toll on the human being and the body. And as you know, we carry those in our energy layers or our koshas, and that is what perpetuates disease. So we have to find ways to release those charges. And it's vitally important to our overall health.
Yeah. So what would you say when, you know, in talking about disease, and I know you speak a lot about this, what do you believe is the biggest disease of Western culture? And, well, I'll let you answer that.
Well, other than managing our suffering, which is probably number one, in the lack of present and moment awareness. That's kind of a pet peeve of mine. I've been kind of preaching that one on the radio quite a bit lately. It bugs me. It bugs me that we can't have a conversation and be fully present with somebody without checking our text. I mean, what is this? Our technology is a beautiful thing. Really, honestly, it is. But when we're unable to sit and be fully present with another individual for 5 minutes without looking around or checking our text messages or something. I think there's something seriously wrong. And I would just extend this from Western culture to everyone on the planet because we become so addicted to our little boxes, you know, that gives us this instant communication with everybody. But what I see happening in just in the last 10 years is we are, with all of our media and our stimulation and just the pace of the way we live, of course, we're doing and not being and all the things that... spiritual authors like me talk about, but we are not aware of what is to the extent where we're just bouncing from one thing to another and our minds are like a pack of chattering monkeys. We can't be fully present with anything. And, you know, they tell you in India, or I'm talking about the India East, that all conditioning is negative. Even all positive and negative conditioning is negative because it takes our awareness away of what is. And so we have to be willing to set all of these tools aside and to just simply, and I don't even want to say slow down. I want to say to be fully present to what is in front of you and to be willing to look at any conditioning or ideas that may alter your view of reality. So I think that's a disease. So we have the managing of the suffering, which is, you know, pretty extensive, the lack of present moment awareness. But there's another one, which kind of takes us to our topic of oneness, is that we believe in separation. And that was really an awakening for me, is to understand that we have to, in order for us to be claiming our potential as students of life, we need to practice seeing ourselves as beloved aspects of creation, of this thing, this divine unit of substance, which is spirit. Because if we're going to claim the thing that's going to make us prosperous or make us successful or make us have better joy and relationships and love in our lives, we have to connect with that powerful idea. And that's really, really hard for people especially in many religious traditions, they condition you to believe that you're not divine.
Right. Right. We are very separate, especially in Western religions. You know, growing up with that that whole concept, that very limiting concept. And that's what, I mean, that's what this whole, the oneness, I mean, this, that's what all this is about, right? Reminding us that we all have that God spark, that we are united. We are not separate. What would you say in a practical sense that recognizing that can do for us in life? I mean, understanding that as a mental concept, yes, we are one, we are not separate, is, you know, how do you take that and apply it so that it's practical and useful?
I have to tell you that in my meditation classes, I used to teach people to chant, which is actually interesting and fun, and it's endearing to see people open up, because all really chanting is a prayer. It's a prayer or an idea that you say over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember years ago, I used to teach this chant called Ung So Hung. Ung So Hung. And it's a very sing-song chant. It's done to music. It's really very beautiful. But what it means is, I am divine in every cell of my being.
Mm-hmm.
I am divine in every cell of my being. And by saying something in a chant over and over and over and over, we're reinforcing that. It's like an affirmation, right? It's very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said earlier, the idea of oneness, it's powerful to acknowledge that we can't be anywhere outside of the presence. It's in us, it's we are in it, and it's through us always. And what it is that when we affirm, whether through prayer or chanting or writing or journaling or whatever is your way to look closer within and be more connected to the presence,
mm-hmm.
you want to affirm that I am present in you, because it's the highest vibration that you can generate.
Mm-hmm.
So my roundabout point is that the more we seek ways to identify with that idea and to pull that vibration into us, we are actually seeing life through the eyes of the presence. And the more that we practice doing that, that's when you really start to consistently see that your life is changing for the better. You're going to attract better relationships and better job opportunities, and all of a sudden people are just going to pop into your existence, and you're going to say, oh my God, where did this come from? Well, it's not an accident. It's because you're teaching yourself to vibrate at a higher level. Attract that thing that is going to nurture you.
Yeah, that the energetic frequency shifts, your entire energy changes when you start to be, as you affirm that I am. I mean, I believe in affirmations, and I know you do, and you wrote a book on it, and you know, a lot of people don't, but I feel as though you have to feel the feeling. You can't say it mentally and then go, well, that was just a bunch of crap, you know. You have to feel it and know it and be it, and then your energy shifts, and so your frequency obviously changes, and so everything that you magnetize to you is different, and because it's based on that beautiful new energy. So what do you say about affirmations when people say, oh, they don't work? What do you say?
Well, I have a hard time with the people who don't want to try something new to change their reality. I guess if somebody said that to me, I would just pop a book in the mail and say, here, have this. It's a gift from me. Because I spent a lot of time thinking about it. Actually, I don't know if you remember Louise Hay's first book. Do you remember that book she wrote years? Oh, my gosh, it must be like 25 or 30 years ago. You Can Heal Your Life.
And
it was kind of the first book that got me on the path to affirmative thinking and to understanding that what we see in our reality is a reflection of what's going on inside. And then she has in the back of this book a little index of all the diseases of the body. And so I was just going down looking, oops, well, I have that. Oops, I have that one too. And then there would be a column, like an Excel sheet column, that said what that
the root causes
a metaphysical cause. And that's when I started making connection between what's happening in your head and all this trauma and drama from your families or growing up or whatever that's translating into a less than optimal reality. I'm not going to say negative, because this is all part of our journey and our learning experience here, and we should never feel ashamed or bad because everybody's going to go through it at some point and at some level. But I believe that in order for us to embrace the concept of oneness, which really is just being completely aware of God within yourself, that's really all it is. It's being aware of God or the presence within yourself. We have to, you know, affirm that idea and others like that at the highest level that we can generate. And I'll tell you, if it were so easy, everybody would do it. And our whole planet would have this amazing consciousness shift like in the last 24 hours.
Yes.
And we would all be just walking down the street hugging each other and go, oh, what can I do for you today? This is hard work.
Right.
It's such hard work. You know this. If it were that easy, we would just say, okay, well, today I'm going to affirm my highest good and create a beautiful reality and tell myself that I'm a reflection of spirit, and that'll be it. You know, hey, I'm ready to cross over to the other side now. My work is done.
Check. I'm done. Yeah.
But it's right. Discipline. And so anyway, the beauty of the affirmative thinking is you need to have the develop some sort of awareness. You know, when you're shifting into worry or self-doubt or anger or unforgiveness, try to catch yourself there. Catch yourself. Be aware. You're going to have those thoughts. You know, I'm sorry, but the Tibetan monks who are up, you know, and living in a cave somewhere and meditating all day, once in a while, excuse me, they're going to have a thought about worry, self-doubt, or unforgiveness or anger. This is human nature.
Right.
And as long as that we are at a higher level of awareness of when these things come into the mind, then we can lovingly embrace it and shift that energy to a more affirmative platform and be able to move forward and put a better thing to work in our lives. So it's a discipline. Yeah.
Well, and that's the conscious creation that you're talking about, right?
Conscious creation, to me, is understanding that you're in a partnership with the divine presence. That's about coexisting with the creatress or the creator, or however you define that in your wisdom tradition. But that is a partnership, and you can't do it without each other because we're embodied spirit, right? We are actually the I Am presence. I mean, that's basically the fundamental premise of positive thinking in manifestation. So all conscious creation is really internalizing that idea and then being able to manifest what you desire with clarity and passion. Those are the two key elements to conscious creation. In my work, that's pretty much been the case. Do you remember Emmett Fox? I loved his stuff. He was a 1940s New Thought minister. And he was a wonderful writer, and he wrote these tiny little books that, you know, probably at the time cost 20 cents in the church, you know, bookstore or something. And I learned a lot. And I'll tell you, he wrote some bigger books much later in his career about co-creation and manifestation and what that really means. And you know what he said? He said that there's really two key elements to it. You first of all need clarity, and then you need passion. But if you want to manifest something or create, say, a better relationship in your life, you have to be really clear on what that relationship looks like. What is it? To have a clear sense of what it is that you want. Because if you're just wandering around looking for something, you're never really going to find it. I mean, there's an old saying that your mother probably said, something about, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. It sounds a little convoluted, but it comes to mind. The other thing that Emmett said was passion. And this is really important for people. And when teaching people some of the spiritual ideas that you and I teach, is that you have to be able to feel inside. What does that new relationship feel like? What are you doing when you're in this new relationship, or you have this new job, or you're collecting all this wonderful abundance? You know, what does it feel like truly to be in that situation? And so if you don't have clarity and passion, you can't really be a very good conscious creator with the presence, because mm-hmm. this is our yeah. responsibility as human beings. This is what we need to do to make the partnership work.
Right. And another key element of that is something you mentioned a little while ago, which was awareness. We have to be aware of what we're creating or where our energy is or what we're placing our attention on or our thoughts or our words that we're speaking. We have to be aware of that and then consciously shift it with that kind of clarity that you're talking about and that passion. And aren't those key elements to shifting the energy so that we can create something different, right?
Well, awareness, and that kind of leads me into the topic of enlightenment, because to me, enlightenment is awareness. It's just yeah. that the whole terminology has just gotten so convoluted.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, we in the West are so responsible for this because we're so goal-driven. Oh, go to a bookstore. You know, I want the 10 steps to marketing success, or here's the 15 things you need to do to get a better something in life. You know, we want the right. whole plan. You're right. laughing because you know you've been at the bookstore looking at the
Of course, yes. So that you can go check, okay, done. I'm enlightened now.
This is our culture, though.
Right.
And so we think in the West, enlightenment is some big reward, you know, for doing some 10-step process, which is laughable. Mm-hmm. This is one of the things you learn when you're in India, is that there's no such thing. All enlightenment is it's not the end of the road. It's simply waking up. It's waking up to a higher level awareness. That's all it is. It's not some magical thing where, you know, the angels are going to come down out of the sky and read poetry to you and put you in this beautiful pink aura of, you know, magnificence. This is about us waking up. It's about shifting from living from the mind and thinking from the heart. And so what we're doing as a collective unit, a community or family or society or however big you want to view it, is we're learning to get disengaged from the mind. And I don't mean we're going to stop thinking, of course. We can't do that. But what we're doing is we're disengaging from old emotions and old habits and assumptions and traumas and conditioning and all the time we've spent living life through all these masks we have constructed in order to survive. Mm-hmm. So the shift to a higher level awareness, the transformation, if you will, is just changing that perspective and to have a higher conscious choice, you know, to have a higher level awareness through conscious choice.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that to me is the awakening. It's the shift from ego to essence and living more from the heart center, which is very exciting to me, really. I mean, it's happening.
Yeah, and that is where I always say that's where the magic happens, because when you shift from the mind to the heart, not that living in the mind is a bad thing, or I mean, that's part of reality and that's part of human existence, but when we can shift into the heart, that's where so many beautiful new doors and opportunities open that we would have never seen or would have never even appeared had we not rooted ourselves into the heart center. But, you know, in talking about the mind, I know you speak about the ancient mind. Does that mean that we all share the same mind, or how do you describe that?
Unfortunately, we do. Isn't that an awful thing? This is one of the, and I wrote about, all these things we're talking about are all in the book, you know, so people can learn more by reading the book. And the chapter on the mind, it was very, very interesting and difficult to write this, first of all, because when you're talking to an Indian spiritual guide, first of all, trying to translate all the stuff into English that makes, you know, sense to you and me, because they talk a lot in stories and they're beautiful, wonderful teachers. But I'll tell you that the instruction that we received on what is the ancient mind was absolutely fascinating to me, because what they're explaining is that there's only one mind. And that sounds very quirky, because we think, oh, well, our individual brains are separate and our bodies are separate and the details of our mind are separate, like what I prefer or what I like to eat for breakfast or what I think about or my favorite color. These are all my individual thoughts. So some content in that mind, you know, we own individually. But we're not thinking of anything new that someone else hasn't thought of 1,000 years ago. We
right.
have the same fears, the same emotions, the grief, the pain that somebody else has already had. And we have all experienced the same suffering. It's not unique. We are all experiencing something that a cave person experienced 2 million years ago. And the mind wants us to create all kinds of concepts and beliefs about our suffering so that it can constantly perpetuate itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't exist with all of that chatter. And so what we have to do is to get it under control. So what they teach you is that this mind, this universal mind, is a tool. It has been designed to be something that's to help us distinguish or compare or decide. But instead of making friends with the mind, we've kind of let it run amok. It's mm-hmm. it's running our lives, and it won't shut up. we've forgotten how to be quiet and engaged in what we're doing. We're constantly indulging ourselves in comparison and analysis.
Right.
Okay, well, that's what the mind is supposed to do in order to help us navigate through the life. But what's happening is it should be working for us and not running our lives.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So that's one little thing about the mind I can share with people. We have to make friends with it. It's a great tool and an organizer. And you will never be able to change its structure, though. You don't become free of the mind. You become
yeah.
free with it.
You partner with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, the more, I just have to add this real quick, is the more that you have this level of awareness that you were speaking of,
mm-hmm.
the more you're going to be aware of the mind kind of running on this automatic amok road. It's like all of a sudden you're going to look at somebody and say, oh, well, there's judgment moving in, or you're thinking a thought about another girl or a boy or something that's less than optimal. And it's like, wait a minute, where'd that come from? Well, the mind is designed to compare and analyze. You know, you don't have to do everything it says.
Mm-hmm,
That's how we've got indulged in our incredibly deep sense of separation. We just need to see what the mind is and to recognize it and thank it every now and then for being a good tool and an organizer, but please don't let it run your whole life.
Right, and don't resist it. That is part of our experience. And, you know, one thing I was thinking as you were saying that, and it goes back to what we spoke about before, about that presence, that awareness, that presence, because when we are present, we can realize what the mind may or may not be doing and recognize if we are using it as an empowering tool or if it is sort of just running rampant. And, you know, it's about, I love that whole topic of presence and being present, because that's the only way that we're going to be aware of whether we are partnering with the mind or whether it's in charge, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, you know, what do you say about, you know, does it really matter what version of God or that we have or what religion we practice when it comes to enlightenment or spirituality? What do you say about that?
Well, Bhagavan, who's one of these folks out in India, well, he's really very broad. I mean, this guy is a nice, very good teacher of oneness and so forth. And when he shows up to do a blessing, 30,000 people show up just to get his energy, which is truly extraordinary when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of his teachings, he always said, there's 7 billion people on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and there are 7 billion versions or images of the divine.
Mm.
And that kind of stuck with me, you know, when I heard about that. We each have our own individual version of what the presence is. And, you know, God is like a huge TV network, and I have a really hard time believing that he, she would create only one spin-off series. I mean, it's too diverse to think about, okay, that is not what oneness is.
Mm-hmm.
Oneness is not everybody coming together and saying, okay, well, we've got one spiritual master and one guru or or one savior that has delivered us a message from this one particular image or version of what God or the divine presence is. And we're all going to unite behind that, and that's going to make us one beautiful group of people. Well, I say that's impossible. Mm-hmm. That is not what unity and oneness is. I mean, we just want to have people explore their own individual wisdom traditions as deeply as possible and to look for spiritual understanding. And yes, to know that the presence or God or however you may define that in your own wisdom tradition is the source and creator of all. It is good and present everywhere, and we are spiritual beings created in this image, and that the spirit within everyone is inherently good. Mm-hmm. People who are living despicable lives, meaning that they are making despicable choices, they are harming people or causing violence or whatever, they are the same as we are, Carrie. They have the same individual spark of divine creation within them. The difference is that they have not realized it.
Yes.
So there's always hope for everything and everybody. You know, there's nobody that's going to cross over the other side in my belief system and get denied at the St. Peter Gate. I mean, we are not going to be denied our journeys to becoming whole again. It's impossible because you can never, ever be. I don't care what side of existence you're on, if you're on the human side or if you're already crossed over into heaven, you're never going to be outside of all that is.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess when you try to broaden your perspective, no, I don't think it matters what religion or spirituality practice. Certainly I don't endorse things where we're organizing violent measures against people. I wouldn't even call that a spiritual practice. I mean, I would call that cultural conditioning. Wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Yes. No, I mean, and it all goes back to the concept of oneness. There's not one person who's right and everybody else is wrong, or, you know, it's all a matter of perspective anyway. And I think when we can look at one another and try our very best to see that spark within us all, you know, life is so much more beautiful that way. It feels a whole lot better to live that way. And when you embrace that expansiveness that you're talking about, that it's a feeling to me, the way I describe spirituality or this acknowledgement of the light that is within me, it's an expansive feeling. And there's, when you start living from that space, there's nothing. I mean, it's a completely new way of living. I mean, I started living that way after my near-death experience about 15 years ago. And it's like life is so much more beautiful when you accept other people and realize everybody's fine where they're at, and we're all on different levels of this game, this playing field here. It sure makes life a lot easier, wouldn't you say? And a little more fun. I mean, it's supposed to be fun too, right?
It makes it easier. But I would say in the beginning, it's discipline. I mean, oh my God.
Oh, yes. It's still discipline.
About, you know, I was on the radio with somebody yesterday, and we were talking about relationships that don't work out. Ugh. Yes, the suffering involved, and nobody is excluded from this experience, and certainly not me, because I tell you, I don't know, her topic was something about the eclipse, and how that is presenting different roads for folks, and you know, certainly that was appropriate a topic for me at the time, because of the fork in the road with the relationship with somebody who had been very, very close, and I'll tell you, you know, even getting out of bed this morning, thinking about it, because I had to revisit the whole thing in the form of a metaphoric dream last night, which was, oh my gosh, where'd that come from? And just getting out of bed when there's some suffering in your life and being able to apply these ideas that you just spoke of, it takes discipline. Because it's so easy to let your heart close, isn't it?
You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Our purpose is to keep that channel open no matter what. And I guess all I can think about, for myself anyway right now, given this interesting circumstance that presented itself into my life, is that you have the heart center, and when you take something and you beat it and you beat it and you beat it and it shatters, like a hammer shattering a glass ball, and you can just imagine the image of that with the glass just spraying out instantly mm-hmm. to all corners of the room, mm-hmm. there's mm-hmm. nothing left to contain it. So I guess mm-hmm. if we're meant to learn how to love bigger,
yeah,
maybe that's an important part of our process.
Yeah.
So we
well, yeah, and it doesn't mean that we are, as we become aware of this oneness principle, or as we become aware of the divine spark, it doesn't mean that we are immune to these emotional challenges. That's part of life. I think the beautiful thing is we can get through it with a little bit more, I don't want to use the word ease, but we can move through it from a higher vantage point, maybe being able to look at it from that higher perspective and knowing that we will get through it. I think that you get through things like that a little bit more quickly than you would had you not embraced the divine spark.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
And it isn't easy, certainly right. not easy for anybody, but it's this level of awareness, mm-hmm. and which is just, try to remind yourself where yourself, your own individual self ends and the all begins. I mean, that's about forgiveness and blessing your enemies and all those things that our mothers and all the great spiritual masters taught us for how many years, and we still aren't listening because it's too hard. But we have to laugh and be kind to ourselves. But, you know, we also have a responsibility to awaken. Why do we want to live in the dark? It hasn't worked for thousands of years. I think people are just getting sick and tired of the way things are, and they're saying, you know what, I guess if enlightenment or awakening is freely given for everyone, it's simply a choice and a discipline to practice every day, and so why not? What the heck have I got to lose? So there's progress going there. If we can all just kind of move forward, no matter how different we may perceive each other, if we're all moving forward together, even just in tiny little incremental bits, I think we're going to see some really wonderful things the next 10 years on the mm-hmm. planet. I know this will happen. It'll be very exciting.
Yeah, and those individuals that challenge us the most, even though it's hard to yeah. see it in the moment, are the ones who are our greatest teachers, and they remind us. It's hard in the moment, though, but, you know.
I had a friend not long ago remind me, and of course I've known this stuff for years,
and I think a lot of
our best friends are just present there at different strategic points in our lives to remind us of all the stuff we already know.
Right.
But we attract these people at some level into our lives on purpose. Ooh, and doesn't that sound awful? That sounds like, people are going to call your station and go, what do you mean? But this is what we do. They are our greatest teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a relationship last year with somebody, and I did not understand why this woman was in my life, and I kept always imagining her to, you know, kindly and beautifully drift away on a boat somewhere and just kind of can't have a visual every day of her, you know,
floating away
to another universe, you know, and with blessing and all of this. And I'm like, you know, that does work. It helps reduce your impact, the impact it has sometimes on your everyday work and life. But the bigger picture you have to understand is that these mm-hmm. people are being brought into your circumstances and your purview for you to see something about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to look. Oh,
exactly.
Man, why would we? We're seeing the stuff about ourselves we don't want to look at. It's
right.
painful.
Yeah.
So this is another form of awareness, I think. And it's so basic, Carrie, because mm-hmm. if we could adjust our viewpoint and say, once in a while, there's some people around us that are there to reflect some of the things about us we don't want to see, and that they're not going to go away until we actually learn from it,
yes.
then we better step up to the plate and embrace
right.
it.
Yeah, and it goes back to that presence thing. We have to be present, silence ourselves a little bit, and really try to figure out, okay, what is it here that I need to look at within myself, that, or else that person is going to just keep coming back, or someone else like them that's even more annoying.
and that's the suffering we perpetuate all on our own. We keep the whole minute we're stuffing it away, and we don't want to look at it. And don't you, in your own counseling for people, get people who say, oh, well, the same thing is happening to me over and over and over again.
Right.
I can't hang on to a job, and the same work relationships happen. And, oh, there's my love and my relationships always seem to tank in some way, and I never can find what I want. And it's like, well, I wonder what's going on there, this pattern that you've been exhibiting that you are not willing to look or break. And it's hard to look at these things, because it means that we have to examine ourselves at a very deep level and be humbled by the process. You know, I think.
Yeah, and take some accountability and responsibility, and that's hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's very challenging.
I don't want to do that.
It's a lot easier to just keep blaming everything outside of us. Like, oh, it's the same situation. I always get fired. My relationships never work out. And I always just tell people, it's going to require an energetic shift within you before you see any kind of different result outside of you. And of course, you and I teach all of this all the time. It doesn't mean that we're immune to, you know, those things in our own lives, but it's interesting to, I think people would be interested, you know, to know that. I mean, these things happen to us all. Even when we all know these things and we teach them and we write about them, they still occur within all of our lives. You know, nobody is immune. The idea is hopefully we just gain a broader perspective and awareness so that we don't stay stuck too long, you know, in these situations. So, you know, we've got, let's see, how many minutes left? We've got 4 minutes left. Let's see. Why don't you tell us where people can find the book and find out more about what you have going on, and then we'll start to wrap up.
Well, we can tell everyone that you could go to charleneproctor.com, which is our main website, and you will find all the information you need for the Oneness Gospel there, because we have plenty of drop-down menus and so forth. You can buy the book, or just go to theonenessgospel.com. And we had a book campaign a couple weeks ago, and we did very well. We hit number one on Kindle, if you can believe it. So our book is available in all ebook formats from Amazon and the major retailers. And if none of that you can remember, just Google my name, Charlene Proctor, or The Oneness Gospel, and there'll be plenty of information there on where you can find the book and order it. If you go to our main website, we did a series of television shows for Comcast this year called Your Journey to Joy, and they are so, so beautiful. I would love to have people go to our site and view these programs. They're very short, and they actually are a mini dose of some of these oneness teachings.
Mm-hmm.
So if they go to the main website and look and tune in, you'll see a different programs, or they're all on the YouTube channel as well.
But yeah, that's what I saw. They're beautiful,
yeah,
little
they're
short messages
produced.
About infusing joy into your experience in different ways. Yeah,
and,
I was watching those before the call. They were great.
I know. And the producers that did these did such an amazing job, and they're just a little dose of joy and positive energy for people. But all of these teachings are in this book. And so we hope people will visit the website. And if all else fails and they're struggling with getting a bonus gift with their book, or they can't find it, or for whatever reason, please just email our office, and our marketing people will be happy to take care of them. Our company mailbox is TGN, which stands for The Goddess Network, at charleneproctor.com. And shoot us an email, and we'll help you get whatever you need.
Wonderful. Well, I had so much more we could talk about, but we have run out of time.
We could just keep going on here forever.
I know. By the way, you look absolutely beautiful in those videos. Anyway, but thank you so much for being here. You were fun, and we could have gone on for a long time. So I appreciate you taking the time to be here with me.
Well, thanks for having me. It was a joy, and let's stay in touch. We could definitely share more with with our audiences.
Absolutely. I will. And I want to thank everybody who's tuned in and listened today. It's been another fantastic show. Thanks so much for being with us. I want to thank Charlene again for being my special guest today. You can reach me at carriemurphy.com. You can reach Charlene at charleneproctor.com. And in concluding the show, I just want to say that I really wish you a rich, full, joyful, abundant, and prosperous day today. You can actively choose to engage this new sense of enthusiasm and passion. It is your birthright. I hope that you've been inspired by our call here today. And until my next show, I encourage you to take at least one nugget of wisdom from this broadcast today. Use it to create some positive change in your own life this week. Remember, change requires action, and there can be no change in your outer world until there is change within you. Bye-bye, everybody. Talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Create Change Now radio show with your host, Carrie Murphy. You can visit Carrie's e-store and check out all her books by going to www.carriemurphy.com. That's Carrie, C-A-R-I, Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-Y.com. Join us again next week where Carrie's amazing guests reveal their personal stories, which you won't want to miss. We also invite you to go to iTunes and rate this show.